The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians 6, verse 12, chapter 13. This is the last chapter on verse 12. An exhortation to the pursuit of heaven and heavenly things. Use 3. Thirdly, it is heaven and all that is heavenly that Satan seeks to hinder us of. Let this provoke us the more earnestly to contend for them. Had we to do with an enemy that came only to plunder us of earthly trifles, would honors, estates, and what this world affords us stay his stomach, it might suffer a debate. In a soul that hath hopes of heaven, whether it worth fighting to keep this lumber, but Christ in heaven, these sure are too precious to part withal upon any terms. Ask the kingdom of him also, saith Solomon to Bathsheba, when she begged Abishai for Adonijah. What can the devil leave thee worth if he deprive these of these? And yet I confess I have heard of one that wish God would let him alone and not take him from what he had here, vile brute, the choice of a swine and not a man that could choose to wallow in the dung and order of his carnal pleasures and wish himself forever shut up with his swill and the hog's sty of this dunghill earth rather than leave these to dwell in heaven's palace and be admitted to no meaner pleasures than what God himself with his saints enjoys. It were even just if God could such brutes as these a swine's face to their swinish hearts. But alas, how few then should we meet that would have the countenance of a man. The greatest part of the world, even all that are carnal and worldly, being of the same mind, though not so impudent as that wretch, to speak what they think. The lives of men tell plain enough that they say in their hearts, it is good being here, that they wish they could build tabernacles on earth for all the mansions that are prepared in heaven. The transgression of the wicked said in David's heart that the fear of God was not before them. Psalms chapter 36, verse 1. And may not the worldliness of a muckworm say in the heart of any rational man that heaven and heavenly excellencies are not before their eyes or thoughts? Oh, what a deep silence is there concerning these in the conversations of men. Heaven is such a stranger to the most that very few are heard to inquire the way thither, or so much as ask the question in earnest what they shall do to be saved. The most express no more desires of obtaining heaven than those blessed souls now in heaven do, of coming again to dwell on earth. Alas, their heads are full of other projects. They are either as Israel, scattered over the face of the earth to gather straw, or busy to pick up that straw they have gathered, laboring to get the world or pleasing themselves with what they have got, so that it is no more than needs to use some arguments to call men off the world to the pursuit of heaven and what is heavenly. First, for earthly things, it is not necessary that thou hast them. That is necessary which cannot be supplied with somewhat besides itself. Now, there is no such earthly enjoyment, but may be so supplied as to make its room more desirable than its company. In heaven there shall be light and no sun, a rich feast and yet no meat, glorious robes and yet no clothes. There shall want nothing, and yet none of this worldly glory be found there. Yea, even while we are here, they may be recompensed. Thou mayest be under infirmities of body, and yet better than if thou hast health. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 34. Thou mayest miss of worldly honor and obtain with those worthies of Christ, Hebrews chapter 11, a good report of faith, and that is a name better than the great ones of the earth, Thou mayest be poor in the world and yet rich in grace, and godliness with content is great gain. In a word, if thou partest with the temporal life and findest an eternal, what dost thou lose by thy change? But heaven and heavenly things are such as cannot be recompensed with any other. Thou hast a heavenly soul in thy bosom. Lose that, and where canst thou have another? There is but one heaven. Miss that, and where can you take up your lodging but in hell? One Christ that can lead you thither. Reject him, and there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Oh, that men would think of these things. Go, send it to the world, and see what it can afford you in lieu of these. May be it will offer to entertain you with its pleasures and delights. Oh, poor reward for the loss of Christ in heaven. Is this all thou canst get? Doth Satan rob thee of heaven and happiness, and only give thee this nosegay to smell on as thou art going to thy execution? Will these quench heaven fire, or so much as cool those flames thou art falling into? Who but those that have perverted their understandings would take these toys and new nothings for Christ in heaven? While Satan is pleasing your fancies with these rattles and baubles, your hand is in your treasure, robbing you of that which is alone necessary. It is more necessary to be saved than to be, better not to be, than to have a being in hell. Secondly, earthly things are such as it is a great uncertainty whether with all our labor we can have them or not. The world, though so many thousand years old, hath not learned the merchant such a method of trading as that from it he may infallibly conclude he shall at least get an estate by his trade, nor the courtier such rules of comporting himself to the humor of his prince, as to assure him he shall rise. They are but few that carry away the prize in the world's lottery. The greater number have only their labor for their pains, and a sorrowful remembrance left them of their egregious folly to be led such. I'll goose chase after that which hath deceived them at last. But now for heaven and the things of heaven. There is such a clear and certain rule laid down, that if we will but take the counsel of the Word, which can neither mistake the way, nor in that way miscarry to the end, as many as walk by this rule, peace be unto them and the whole Israel of God. There are some indeed who run, and yet obtain not his prize. They seek and find not, knock and find the door shut upon them. But it is because they do it either not in the right manner or in the right season. Some would have heaven, but if God has saved them, he must save their sins also, for they do not mean to part with them. And now, and how heaven can hold God in such company together, judge you. As they come in at one door, Christ and all those holy spirits with him would run out at the other. Ungrateful wretches, they that will not come to this glorious feast unless they may bring that with them which would disturb the joy of that blessed state and offend all the guests that sit at the table with them, yea, drive God out of his own mansion house. A second sort would have heaven, but like him in Ruth chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, who had a mind to his kinsmen, Amalek's land, and would have paid for the purchase, but he liked not to have it by marrying Ruth, and so missed of it. Some seem very forward to have heaven and salvation, if their own righteousness could procure the same. All the good they do and duties they perform, they lay up for this purchase and at last perish, because they chose not with Christ and take not heaven in his right. A third sort are content to have it, but Christ, but their desires are so impotent and listless that they put them upon no vigorous use of means to obtain him, and so, like the sluggard, they starve because they will not pull their hands out of their bosom of sloth to reach their food that is before them. For the world they have metal enough and too much. They trudge far and near for that, and when they have won themselves out of breath, can stand and pant after the dust of the earth, as the prophet phrases it, Amos chapter 2, verse 7. But for Christ and obtaining interest in him, oh, how key cold are they. There is a kind of cramp invades all the powers of their souls when they should pray, hear, examine their hearts, draw out their affections and hungerings and thirstings after his grace and spirit. It is strange to see how they, even now, went full swooped to the world, are suddenly becalmed, not a breath of wind stirring in any purpose in their souls after these things. And is it any wonder that Christ in heaven should be denied to them that have no more mind to them? Lastly, some have zeal enough to have Christ in heaven, but it is when the master of the house has risen and hath shut to the door, and truly then they must stand long enough, rapping before any come to let them in. There is no gospel preached in another world, but as for these poor souls who are persuaded to renounce their lust, throw away the conceit of their own righteousness, that thou mayest run with more speed to Christ, and art so possessed with the excellency of Christ, that thy own present need of him and salvation by him, that thou pantest after him more than life itself. In God's name go on in speed, be of good comfort. He calls thee by name to come unto him, that thou mayest have rest for thy soul. There is an office and the word where thou mayest have thy soul and its external happiness insured to thee. Those that come to him as he will himself in no wise cast out, so not suffer any other to pluck them away. This day, saith Christ to Zacharias, salvation is come to thy house. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Salvation comes to thee, poor soul. Thou openest thy heart to receive Christ. Thou hast eternal life already, as sure as if thou wast a glorified saint now walking in that heavenly city. O sirs, if there were a free trade proclaimed to the Indies, enough gold for all that went, and a certainty of making a safe voyage, who would stay at home? But alas, this can never be had. All this and infinitely more may be said for heaven, and yet how few leave their uncertain hopes of the world to trade for it. What account can be given for this but the desperate atheism of men's hearts? They are not yet fully persuaded whether the Scripture speaks true or not, whether they may rely upon the discovery that God makes in his word of this newfound land, and those minds of spirituals there to be had is certain. God opens the eyes of the unbelieving world as he did the prophet's servants, that they may see these things to be realities, not fictions. It is faith only that gives a being to those things in our hearts. By faith Moses saw him that was invisible. Thirdly, earthly things. When we have them, we are not sure of them. Like birds, they hop up and down, now on this hedge and anon upon that. None can call them his own. Rich today and poor tomorrow, in health when we lie down and arrested with pains of death before midnight. Joyful parents, one while solacing ourselves with the hopes of our budding prosperity, and maybe ere long knocks one of Job's messengers at our door to tell us they are all dead now in honor, but who knows whether we shall not live to see that buried in scorn and reproach. The Scripture compares the multitude of people and waters, the great ones of the world sit upon these waters. As the ship floats upon the waves, so do their honors upon the breath and favor of the multitude. And how long is he like to sit that is carried upon a wave? One, while they are mounted up to heaven, as David speaks of the ship, and then down again they fall into the deep. We have 10 parts of the king, say the men of Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 43. And in the very next verse, Sheba doth but sound a trumpet of sedition, saying, we have no part in David, no inheritance in the son of Jesse. And the wind is in another corner presently, for it is said, every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba. Thus was David cried up and down, and that almost in the same breath, unhappy man, he that hath no surer portion than what this veritable world will offer him. The time of mourning for the departure of all earthly enjoyments is at hand. We shall see them, as Eglon's servants did their Lord, fallen down dead before us, and weep because they are not. What folly, then, is it to dangle this vain world in our affections, whose joy, like the child's laughter on the mother's knee, is sure to end in a quiet lapse, and neglect heaven and heavenly things which endure forever, or remember Dives swallowing up his pillow and composing himself to rest, how he called up with the tidings of death before he was warm in his bed of ease and laid with sorrow on another, which God had made for him in flames, from whence we hear him roaring in the anguish of his conscience. O soul, couldst thou but get an interest in the heavenly things we are speaking of, these would not thus slip from under thee. Heaven is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Christ an abiding portion. His graces and comfort, sure waters that fail not, but spring up into eternal life. The quails that were food for Israel's lust soon ceased, but the rock that was drink to their faith followed them. Their rock is Christ, and make sure of him, and he will make sure of thee. He will follow thee to thy sick bed and lie in thy bosom, cheering thy heart with his sweet comforts, when worldly joys lie cold upon thee, as David's clothes on him, and no warmth of comfort to be got from them. When thy outward senses are locked up, that thou canst never neither see the face of thy dear friends, nor hear the counsel and comfort they would give thee, then he will come, though these doors be shut, and say, peace be to thee, my dear child. Fear not death or devils. I stay to receive thy last breath, and here have my angels waiting, that as soon as thy soul is breathed out of thy body, they may carry and lay it in my bosom of love, where I will nourish thee with those earthly joys that my blood hath purchased and my love prepared for thee. Fourthly, earthly things are empty and unsatisfying. We may have too much, but never enough of them. They oft breeding loathing, but never content, and indeed how should they, being so disproportionate to the vast desires of these immortal souls that dwell in our bosom? A spirit hath not flesh and bones, neither can it be fed with such. And what hath the world but a few bones covered over with some fleshly delights to give it? The less is blessed of the greater, but not the greater of the less. These things, therefore, being so far inferior to the nature of man, he must look higher if he will be blessed, even to God himself, who is the Father of spirits. God intended these things for our use, not enjoyment. And what folly is it to think we can squeeze from them which God never put in them? These are breasts that moderately draw, yield good milk, sweet, refreshing. But wring them too hard, and you will suck nothing but wind or blood from them. We lose what they have by expecting to find what they have not. None find less sweetness and more dissatisfaction in these things than those who strive most to please themselves with them. The cream of the creature floats on the top, and he that is not content to skim it, but thinks of drinking a deeper draught to find yet more, goes further to speed worse, being sure by the disappointment he shall meet to pierce himself through with many sorrows. But all these fears might happily he escaped if thou wouldest turn thy back on the creature and face about for heaven. Labor to get Christ and through him hopes of heaven, and thou takest the right road to content. Thou shalt see it before thee and enjoy the prospect of it as thou goest. Yea, find that every step thou drawest nearer and nearer to it. Oh, what a sweet change wouldst thou find as a sick man coming out of an impure, unwholesome climate, where he never was well when he gets into the fresh air, or his native soul, or wilt thou find a cheering of thy spirit in reviving thy soul with unspeakable content and peace, having once closed with Christ. First, the guilty of all thy sins is gone, and despoiled all thy mirth before. All your dancing of a child, when some pin pricks it, will not make it quiet or merry. Well, now, that pin is taken out, which robbed thee of the joy of thy life. Secondly, thy nature is renewed and sanctified, and when it is a man at ease, if not when he is in health. And what is holiness but the creature restored to his right temper in which God created him? Thirdly, thou becomest the child of God, and that cannot but please thee well, I hope, to be son or daughter to so great a king. Fourthly, thou hast the right to heaven's glory, whither thou shalt ere long be conducted to take and hold possession of that thine inheritance forever. And who can tell what that is? Nesiphorus tells us of one Argubus, a great man, that hearing so much of Christ's fame by reason of the miracles he wrought, sent a painter to take his picture, and that the painter, when he came, was not able to do it because of that radiancy of divine splendor which sat on Christ's face. Whether this be true or no, I leave it. But to be sure, there is such a brightness in the face of Christ glorified, and that happiness which in heaven saints shall have with him, as forbids us, that dwell in mortal flesh, to conceive of it aright, much more to express. It is best going thither to be informed, and then we shall confess we on earth heard not half of what we there find, yea, and that our present conceptions are no more like to that vision of glory we shall there have than the sun in the painter's picture is to the sun itself in the heavens. And if all this be so, why then do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Yea, for that which keeps you from that which can satisfy. Earthly things are like some trash, which do not only not nourish, but take away the appetite from that which would. Heaven and heavenly things are not relished by soul visited with these. Manna, though for deliciousness called angel's food, was yet but light bread to an Egyptian's palate. But these spiritual things depend not on thy opinion, O man, whoever thou art, as earthly things in a great measure do, that the value of them should rise or fall as the world's exchange doth, and as vain man is pleased to rate them. Think gold dirt, and it is so, for all the royal stamp on it. Count the swelling titles of worldly honor that proud dust so brags in, vanity, and they are such. But have base thoughts of Christ, and he is not the worst. Slight heaven as much as you will be heaven still. And when thou comest so far to thy wits with the prodigal as to know which is the best fare, husk or bread, where is the best living among hogs in the field or in thy father's house, then thou wilt know how to judge of these heavenly things better. Till then, go and make the best market thou canst of the world, but look not to find this pearl of price, true satisfaction, to thy soul in any of the creature's shops. And were it not better to take it when thou mayest have it, than after thou hast wearied thyself in vain in following the creature, to come back with shame, and may be missed of it here also, because thou wouldest not have it when it was offered. End of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 13. This has been read by Peter John Parisis. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.